And we've been talking a lot about grace, lately. And I've been thinking about grace, and I've been thinking about why it is people reject grace sometimes. Why it is that people, when something is freely given to them without any strings attached, why is it that some people reject grace? And I know on part of the gospel, sometimes it's just that people's hearts are still not open yet. God hasn't opened up their hearts. But why is it that sometimes, you know, as a whole, people just reject what's freely given to them? And I've been thinking about some of the reasons, and I think I've come up with a few, okay? I think much of the time when we're given something, I thought of the context of when is it that when we're given stuff that's free, right? When is the times when, can you think in your life, when are those times when you're given stuff that's completely, that's just free? And much of the time, I think about when things are given to me that are free, you know, most of the time the stuff that is given to us is junk, right? It's junk. I don't know if you've, any of you have ever been to, like, I don't know, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, been to these conferences. Have you ever been to a conference or some sort of, like, thing where you go to it, and there's a lot of these booths that are all around, you know, and you get a bag. Usually you get a bag in the beginning. Someone gives you a bag. It's usually a free bag. And then you go to these booths. And every year, what I do is I go to this thing called Simply Youth Ministry Conference. It's been in Chicago the past 2 years. It's for youth pastors and stuff. And what they have is you walk in, and there's just a row of all these different booths, all these different ministries. And you go around, you know, and they'll be like, hey, come on over here, talk with me. You know, we've got this curriculum. We've got this conference. We got this, you know, this video series that you can go through. And what they do is they just give you junk. You know, so you go and they'll give you a pen, they'll give you a keychain, they'll give you a cup, they'll, like, we've got free downloads for you, they've got a little bit more high tech. But all the stuff they give you, largely, when I leave the conference, I have a bag full of junk, and, you know, just junk, you know. And some people really love this stuff. You know, some people, like, just when they go to these conferences, like, I can get a free T-shirt, free keychain, free. You know, they just love it. They just attract it. Like, as much junk as they, you know, people go around and around. Like, you won't believe what I got. You know, and they'll just pull out their junk and they throw it on the bed or whatever, and then just show it to me. Like, wow, you know. So a lot of the stuff. Sometimes I feel like one of the reasons why, like, just when anything comes across that's freely given to us, this is not worth anything. It's not worth anything. Also, sometimes when we're freely given something, that which is freely given to us isn't really free, right? It's not really free, right? So, like, my family, we used to belong to Costco, right? And the best part about Costco is the samples, right? Right. So, right, you go into Costco, you go through the TVs, you go around past the cameras and stuff, and then you get to the food section. Right? And that's where you begin to look. Your eyes are opened. And you begin to look and search for those different free stuff, the free food, right? And actually, Morgan was so good at we went to Costco so many times, Morgan could tell me where the free booths were. She was like, Dad, if you go around the corner and up the aisle, there's one there. There's one there. You know, there's one. She would know where to get the free stuff. But the thing is, again, all the free stuff, right, it's not really free. It is free. But it's like, it's attached, right? It's attached to, like, they want to sell you hot dogs. They'll be like, have a hot dog. These are on sale for $5.99 for a dozen. You know, whatever. You know, like, there's something. They want something from you. It's an advertisement. And so it's not really free. Or there's the whole thing of, like, buy one, get one free. It's not free. So sometimes it's like, we're kind of become hardened to getting something for free. Because we know, we've become jaded. We know, we've become cynical. We're like, there's nothing free, right? Also, I think that sometimes when I think about grace and something given to us, just here it is, no strings attached, is that sometimes we feel as though we should do something to earn it, right? We're raised this way. We're raised to, like, we ought to be, when someone gives something freely to us, either we feel like we should pay them back, like, you give to me and I give back to you, or we feel like we ought to earn it. And again, The Bible talks about working hard. The Bible talks about, you know, how there's a value of hard work. So there's nothing wrong with earning something, but sometimes that transfers into our walk with Jesus Christ. In fact, you know, again, I think for most of you guys, I hear you guys, I mean, you know, the subject oftentimes is tests and grades and stuff. And I think that if your teacher were to give you an A for nothing, would you guys be excited about that? Yeah, I think you would. Actually, honestly, I think you would. You'd be like, yeah, I'd take an A for nothing. But overall, if you got all A's in all your classes for doing absolutely nothing, then it wouldn't really mean anything. You know, like, you'd be like, at first right now, as you sit in your chair, it'd be like, yeah, I take an A for doing nothing. You know, I can just show my parents, A, I got straight A's, Mom. But honestly, like, what happens is that, you know, eventually that A means really nothing. You haven't earned, I mean, you've worked at it, but it just doesn't mean anything. So there's something in us that we're like, your parents will tell you, the world will tell you, and it's rightly so that there's something in us that says, you know, if something's given to us, we should earn it. But we sometimes transfer that to the gospel, to that which has been given to us freely, right? And so sometimes we have this aversion to grace, something that's freely given to us. But the cool thing about the gospel is that, one, it's not junk, right? The gospel is not something that is just like a keychain. It's not just like a free download. The gospel is life. Like, it is not just something you put in your bag. It is like, I am giving you life, like real life, like deep life, like eternal life, like life forever, like life with God, like life in heaven, like life before the throne, like life. I'm giving this to you. Right? And secondly, it really is free. There's really nothing. We didn't work. We can't do anything for it. There's nothing that we can do for it. It truly is, like, free. We can't earn it. And last, we can't earn it. It's not like we can't work for it. And so Paul is continually working in this book of Galatians. Paul is continually working to persuade the Galatians that the gospel that they originally accepted at one point is one that is freely given and one that they ought to stay with and live by. Because you guys, again, if you guys would flip to Galatians in your Bibles, or looking in Galatians 3, right? Again, this is the picture. This is the picture I want in your head, right? Here's what Paul said. Paul said, like, look, he went to the Galatians. Here's the cross of Christ. He was put on the cross, died, and resurrected. And here you go. Here is life eternal. That life that he, when he rose from the dead, you share that with him. When you are baptized and we put you down under, that life is gone. And when you are raised up, you are raised up with Christ, freely given to you. And then what happens is the Judaizers, those who are Jews, have also said, yeah, the cross is great, but in order to be saved, you must also follow the Mosaic law. You must also, this must be paired up. In order to have salvation, in order to have that life, this must also be added on. And Paul says to them, look, if you want to be circumcised, if you want to follow the food laws, you can. You have the freedom to do that. Judaizers, if you want that, you can do that. Go ahead and do that. You can follow that. But don't tack it on to the gospel. Don't make these non-Jews be a part of this, because that's not part of the gospel. You don't have to have this. It's only this. It's only the cross, right? So that's the picture that Paul is giving, and he's working at persuading the Galatians that is the case. Just the cross. Nothing else is added. And so what Paul is doing in Galatians 3, we're just going to look at, probably just look at the first five verses. And Paul asked the Galatians five questions so that they consider their decision to follow what they're following now is kind of this cross plus the Mosaic law. He's like, I want you to consider, I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to consider, is that the gospel you want to follow? Is that what reality is? Is that what truth is? Is that what you first accepted? Okay? All right, so let's take a look at these questions. Starting in chapter 3, verse 1, it's first question is an easy one, and it's kind of a personal one. Personal, at least in nature. It says, you foolish Galatians. Paul's not exactly trying to make friends, exactly. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who is the one that's telling you this? And again, it is a rhetorical question. Everyone in this room, most of us have been looking at Galatians. Everyone knows the answer to that. The Galatians knows the answer to that. Paul knows the answer to that. It's the Judaizers. Who's been telling you this stuff? You very well know who it is. So he starts out by asking them, telling them, like, what is going on with you? And why are you following these folks? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. In other words, Paul says, look, I came to you, Galatians, and I laid out the gospel as clear as God enabled me to. I laid it out completely for you. I did not leave out any part of the story, nor did I add anything to you to the story. I laid out the gospel so clearly, so much so that there is no way you could not understand what I was telling you. All right? And at the middle of it always has been Christ crucified, the cross. And so it's the same with us, you guys. In some ways, I mean, for many of you, you have grown up in the church and you have heard the gospel 1,000 times. 1,000 times. And also, you know, every month, every single month, what we just come from is a reminder for us. Here is what the gospel is. It's the bread. It's the body of Christ broken for you. It is the blood of Christ, the cup. The blood of Christ spilled for you. Each month, we remind ourselves again, hey, this is what the gospel is. But the thing is like, even though we hear it, even though we do communion again and again, and even though we come up here and I preach the gospel again and again, it's important. It's extremely important to have clarity, of what the gospel is. You know, and that's partly why we do what we've been doing on Saturday nights. You know, when we go through the observation, interpretation, application, the reason why is because, again, I want the gospel to be really clear for you. And if you are able to read the Word, God's Word, and understand it, and it's crystallized, the gospel is crystallized in your own mind, you won't have the same problem that the Galatians are having. You won't be tempted to go, I'm not sure, what exactly is the gospel? And so, Paul begins to appeal to the Galatians of kind of through an experience of what they've experienced. And you know what, you guys, the thing is that, let me back up, the thing is that you have an idea, you guys know the gospel, but I want to share with you that either now or in the future, there are other gospels, variations of the gospel still floating around, okay? Even though we see it here in Galatians, there's this other variation of the gospel that's being presented. That's still happening today. You'll still, I mean, maybe not right now, maybe now, but definitely at college. I know there's like this, once you hit college, there's this floodgate of different philosophies and ideas that come in and hit you. Right? And there'll be different variations of the gospel that sound reasonable, that sound like, well, that sounds like not so unlike the gospel that I know. But it's so important that you like have such a crystal clear idea of what the gospel is exactly, So that when those times come, when those small variations that might lead you down another path come, you'll be able to recognize what those are. You'll be able to say, no, that's not the gospel. This combination is not what Christ is about. Right? So what Paul does is he goes back to the people's experiences to begin to ask them these questions about their experiences so that he can connect it back to Jesus Christ, to the gospel. The first question that he asked them is about initiation. It's a question of initiation. It's a question of, when did you first get the Holy Spirit? Okay, when did you first get the Holy Spirit? All right, so let's look at verse number 2. If you look down with me at verse number 2. Verse number 2 says, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? All right? Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or believing what you heard? And so he says, like, Galatians, think back. All right? Think back. You've been living your life. Think back to, when was it that you came alive in Christ? Was it when I first came to you and shared the gospel? Or was it afterwards, after you'd been living in the Holy Spirit, and then the Judaizers came to you and said, no, what you really need to have, this along with it. When was it that there was a shift in you, that there was a change in you, that the Holy Spirit began to move in you? And some think that maybe there was some charismatic element to this, where actually the Galatians, I don't know what it might be, if there was miracles performed, if maybe there was something kind of charismatic that happened to them that clearly recognized that the Holy Spirit had entered them. But Paul's asking, look, if this is the gospel, if we're asking what the gospel is, when did you actually have the Holy Spirit indwell in you? Right? Because look, this is what happens. It's a little bit low, but you guys can get the drift. Okay? So, again, when we become Christians, right? When we become Christians, what happens is there's a change. Something moves in us. Something dwells in us. God places his Holy Spirit in us. And from then on, there's something that is changed. For the Galatians, it might have been something dramatic. And Paul's like, don't you remember? Don't you remember when there was a shift, when there was a change, when there was like a movement in you? Was it when you first heard the gospel and you believed? Or was it when you started following the law? And so same with us, right? Something happens where the Holy Spirit is placed into us. And from then on, you know, there's a changed heart. There is something that has moved in us, something that has shifted us, something that is inside of us that moves and shapes the way we view God, the way we view people, the way we view ourselves, the way we view the world. And there is a huge shift. For me, it wasn't necessarily like this. I didn't start speaking tongues. I didn't have, you know, there was no miracles. But I remember a guy named Dean. He led me to Christ and was part of leading me to Christ and sharing with me about Jesus Christ. And I remember he said, you know what, Brady? After 2 years, you know, I've been like thinking about who Jesus Christ was and if I wanted to follow him, asked a lot of questions, went to the fall conference, went to the spring conference and all this other stuff. He's like, and I finally felt like, yeah, I feel like God's moving in me. God's changed me. Dean, I want this. God, I want this. I want what you're sharing with me. I want this. And Dean said, you know what happened when it seemed like you realized that this is what you wanted? He's like, I could tell that there was something different in you. He's like, you've been with us for quite some time and you've been reading God's word. Just a second, Tony, after the sermon, okay? You can ask me after the sermon. He said, do you know what happened once you kind of received Christ? He said, like, I noticed that when you read God's word, now, he said, you respond to God's word differently. I can tell that when you read God's word and when we're talking, It's almost like you have an understanding that you didn't have before. It's almost like you respond differently to the word than than before. Like, we would read the passage and you kind of, nothing really hits you. But now, something's changed. And it's the same thing with you guys. Whenever that was, and sometimes for you, it might be really clear. I ask a lot of you guys, you say, well, it was a retreat that I really felt like God moved, and I really felt like God kind of like just came in and dwelled in me, and I really caught it. God gave it to me. And that's when things ought to begin to move in your lives. There ought to be some sort of stirring, some sort of change where God begins to move and shape your heart to be different. All right? So he's asking them, when was it that the Spirit began to move? And was it when you, by faith, or was it when you began following the law? And my question is, as the Galatians think back, they're like, obviously when I believed, something moved, something shaped me. It was not after when I started following these laws that these Judaizers were asking me to follow that there was something that just clicked, something that moved in me, right? So that was the first question. And if you look with me, I want to show you one passage. If you put your finger in Galatians, and then just move back to Romans 8. I just want to ground this in Scripture for you. Galatians, and you flip back a little ways to Romans chapter 8. Listen to what Paul says about the Holy Spirit, okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness." So when Paul says, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ, that means like, hey, once you become a believer, you automatically, God gives you the Holy Spirit. God gives you the Holy Spirit right away. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're a Christian. And I want to ground you this in Scripture, because also sometimes you may come across other churches that'll be similar to this, where they say, "Look, you don't have the Holy Spirit because you haven't spoken tongues yet, and so obviously you're a Christian, but you don't have the Holy Spirit yet." But Paul says, "No." No, if you're a Christian, if you have Christ, the Holy Spirit resides in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And this is what begins to move in us. This begins to change us and form us and shape us and move us, okay? All right. Here's the second question. First question is about when did the Holy Spirit come into you? The second question is about completion. About completion. Flip back to Galatians. It says this, "Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort?" Are you guys so foolish that after starting, assuming that you have the Holy Spirit now, because you're believers, are you trying to attain your goal by human effort? What he's talking about here is the goal is perfection, is completion. We all know that, like, right now, as I look at you and you look at me, you are seeing, as you look at me, you see the Holy Spirit living, indwelling in me. And I'm completely righteous before God. But yet, God is still moving me towards my glorified or completed state. The Brady that you look at now will not be the Brady that you see in heaven. Like, my character will be more like Christ. And as I look at you guys, I see, look, you guys are still in process. You're still in process. I see that the Holy Spirit lives in you, but yet that completion is not there yet until you die and you go to heaven or until Christ returns, right? So we're still in process. And so Paul is asked, in verse 3, are you now trying to gain that completion without the Holy Spirit and without Christ's work on the cross? Are you trying to do it on your own, by your own power? You see, it's through a relationship. We talked last night a lot about law and relationship, about activity and relationship, about grace and law. And it's through a relationship with Him that we gain our maturity. It's through Him being connected with Him and Him doing a work in us, Him like continually like kind of stirring this around and working in us, that we gain our maturity, that eventually the teeny that I see now, God is beginning to do something and work in her. And it's not by just Tina, like, it's not by Tina just gutting it out. You know, last night we were talking about, so we talked about activity and relationship. We had one group that looked at the story of Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, you guys remember the story? Mary was the one who, Mary and Martha knew Jesus. Jesus came to their house. Jesus was sitting in there, was with them. Martha was in the kitchen doing all this kind of work to prepare a meal for Jesus. Mary chose to sit down at Jesus' feet just to be with Him, just to know Him, just to hear from Him, right? And I asked the group. I said, look. I asked them, like, hey, which do you want to, who are you now? Who do you feel like you're more like? Are you more like Mary or are you more like Martha? And so I'm like, I feel like I actually kind of set aside a lot of the activity. I feel like I do like the relationship. Others are like, well, I do, I'm full of activity. I got to confess that a lot of times I'm worried, I'm full of activity. And I asked them, okay, so if you are that Martha, what is it that you think that has to happen in order for you to become more like Mary? And what we discussed is, like, you know, one person said, you know what it is? I think that Mary was drawn to Jesus. Mary was drawn. I said, did Mary have to work at it to set side things aside? Did she have to work at it to, like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to set my calendar. I'm going to, like, set things aside. And I said, no, not really. It seemed like Mary was just drawn into Him. And I said, well, if you're Martha, then what then must you do to become more like Mary? And we talked a little bit, and it wasn't like we said, you know, I told him, like, you know, I've tried the externals before. I've tried them, like, okay, what I'll do is I'll put on my calendar, this time we'll spend with Jesus. This time, you know, I've tried some of the externals, trying to change the outside. But what really needs to be changed is the inside, right? The inside. And this whole idea of, like, what happens is when we are drawn to Him, when we are, like, drawn and filled up with Him, that's when there's, like, change. That's when there's, like, transformation. That's when there's real movement. All right? So he asked them, is it that you're trying to be completed, your completed state, without on your own, and as opposed to relying on the work of Christ and the Holy Spirit? Okay, here's two more questions. Look at with me in verse 4. Paul says, have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? And what this is a question about persecution. Paul is asking them, he says, look, the Galatians must have experienced some persecution from the Jews or from the Judaizers about this. Some of the Galatians, they must have experienced some people saying, no, you, can you hold on to this? You have to have this, Ryan. you've got to have this. If you don't have this, then you're nothing. Or they, I don't know how aggressive they were with that, but if you don't have this, you're nothing. And so Paul's asking them, look, are you saying that like you've gone through this persecution through the Galatians, you're experiencing this persecution, and yet you're still gonna go off with the Judaizers? You know, are you still gonna like continue on with this, and yet you've accepted the gospel, you've received the gospel, and yet you're still gonna go with this persecution and then still follow the Judaizers? It's like this, you guys. I've shared with you times, small times, where I've felt some measure of persecution. Some measure. I don't wanna make my story anything more than what it is, because I'm not living in places where my life is on the line or where I might be thrown in prison or something like that. But Jesus Christ says that, you know, that he promises we will be persecuted. We will be persecuted. And I can tell even now, like, that because there's a different spirit living in me, that my life is, we live our lives differently. You know, Morgan has been, she's in first grade now. And so these past couple of years, we've been getting to know, like, Morgan's been making, you know, friends, kindergarten, preschool, and we're getting to know the kids in her class, we're getting to know, you know, the kids and their families and stuff like that. And one of the things I'm noticing as I get to know her friends is that our family is kind of oddballs. Our family is kind of weird compared to, not weird, no, like, wow, what's wrong with them? They dress like weirdos or something, you know, not that kind of weird, but just like our family, because of the Holy Spirit inside of us, is a little bit different. And I can tell that even as the further we go with Morgan in school, and the more we get to know families, the more I realize that, like, because the Holy Spirit, there's a different spirit inside of us, we're going to have different lives. We're going to be living differently. And it's the same with you guys, actually. I've talked with you, and you said, look, in class, in school, it doesn't come out so much. We just don't talk about God that much. It doesn't come out that much. But, like, in social situations, where it does come out is the decisions you make. It's like the way you talk will separate you from people. The decisions you make, like if people are together and they're talking about someone, they're gossiping, they're talking about something, and you separate yourself out, people will notice. People will notice. And that separates you out from the rest of the people. All right? So we got to expect that we will be persecuted. At times, there will be something that we suffer for Christ. Here's the last question. The last question is verse 5. Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe in what you've heard? All right. So again, is it that we are able? This part. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced the miracle. Can anyone raise their hand if you feel like you've seen or experienced a miracle? Steve, you have? Anyone named Steve has experienced miracles? Yeah, anyone else? Yeah, you know, there's times when I feel like in the United States, in a North American context, I feel like, there's times when I feel like, man, is it that we don't see miracles because something that we're not quite as open? We're not quite as open to the Holy Spirit moving. We don't have as quite the faith that other countries, other places. I guess, you know, I always hear when I talk with Those who've come from other countries, Christians who come from other, like, man, like, we are seeing people being healed. We are seeing people, you know, like, what is this, you know? But Paul is asking, is it that you, and obviously the Galatians have experienced, they have seen some miracles happen amongst them. And he's asking, did it happen when God gave you his spirit, or because you're following this law, you know? And I think sometimes we have that same kind of mindset. There's times, do you guys ever pray and like you kind of associate, like you said, that prayer wasn't answered because I did X, Y, and Z, and so you kind of associate, like, well, because I didn't do this and this, next time if I do this and this, maybe my prayer will be answered. And so sometimes we downplay God's grace and God's power because we still, in some ways, have this mindset of connectedness of like, hey, if I exactly follow the law, God will do X, Y, and Z for me. God will show me this. What Paul is driving at is that it's always come down to faith. It comes down to faith. It comes down to believing Christ alone on the cross. And all that work that he did on the cross completes it all. It's finished. I'm going to read one last passage for us, just as a closing thought, and then we're going to go into prayer. If you close your eyes with me and bow your heads. From the book of John, Jesus on the cross, later knowing that all now was completed, and so the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, and they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk with hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he'd received that drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Father, we give thanks to you that the work on the cross finishes it all. There is nothing that we need to add to our faith. Lord, I pray that that we would have a greater understanding of your grace, of this free gift that has been given to us. I pray that we'd have such a depth of understanding of the gospel. Father, pray that we would, in light of what you have done on the cross, in light of what we think about, what we remember in communion, Lord, that we would live our lives in freedom, that we would live our lives with complete thankfulness and joy. Lord, we know your promise, you never promised us an easy life. You never promised us that things would go smoothly. But you did promise us that we'd be no longer slaves to sin. You did promise us that we have freedom to live and love freely. You did promise us life, a depth of life that we cannot find from the world, or we cannot find from following rules. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.